Father, thank you for thy holy word. For thy word is truth. Ye shall know the truth, the master said, and the truth shall set you free. Thank you for the privilege to walk in the light of the word of God. Thank you for the privilege to come into such a service as this and mingle our voices together in prayer and praise, in adoration and thanksgiving for thy love and kindnesses and tender mercies which are ours. Thank you for divine guidance and direction in this service tonight. Thank you for utterance in the Holy Ghost. Thank you because the greater one lives in us. Thank you because he'll live big in me tonight. Thank you because he'll think through my mind and he'll speak through my lips. And he'll unveil the word of God through these lips of clay unto this people. And he will enable me to stand in the office that God has called me unto and obey the calling of God upon my life. And we'll give praise, honor, and glory unto him for everything that's wrought. For we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm going to read a verse first of all from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and then I'm going to the 5th chapter of Acts, if you want to follow me, please. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 23rd verse. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then turning to the 5th chapter of the Acts, I want to read just the first part of one verse here, and that is the 12th verse. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. One other verse, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with the 4th verse. Paul said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I want you to notice particularly that he said, "My preaching, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, in these night services, as I'm doing in my crusades anymore, I don't make so much preparation. I wait on God and just follow at the leading of the moment. In our teaching services, we do much preparation. But the Lord said to me some time ago, particularly in the night services and the healing services, don't be bothered if you don't have a text or a subject. And sometimes I have to come to the pulpit. He said, through the 44 years, you see, you've been building into your spirit consciousness the word of God and truth. And I'll draw from that and bring out what I want for that congregation. And so I do most of my preparation nowadays by praying an hour or two in tongues before I get into the service. And preparing my spirit more than any other direction. And then just open to the night services, and sometimes I only get a thought, sometimes a text, sometimes I don't get any text at all. And so I'll tell you, I got a few thoughts. I had to look up some scriptures after I got here to go along with my thoughts. And for two or three days, this thought has just simply been going over and over, not in my mind, but deep down inside me, and it's entitled Man and Miracles. Man and miracles. And then I wrote down a few thoughts through the days as I went along and as I thought upon it. And we want to deal with a few of those tonight and hook together what we've said here and bring out of our spirit some things I feel that God has for us. We see here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that Paul gives us the threefold nature of man's being. I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of the Son of Man. So he speaks about the spirit. He speaks about the soul. And he talks about the body. Man is a spirit being. He does have a soul. And he does live in a body. But you see, man's spiritual nature is capable of culture that will enable him to know God and to commune intelligently with Him. We need to know that. So much of our praying is out of our soul and out of our mind and not out of our spirits. But we can have a conversation with God just like we can have a conversation with our fellow man. I know 25 years ago in ministry, I left my last church 28 years ago and went out on the field in field ministry. And about 3 years later, a gentleman was with me as crusade director, and I overheard him. He didn't know that I'd walked up behind him. Really, I didn't interrupt. I just heard as I went by. And he said, I heard him say to somebody, you know, that fella Hagin prays the funniest of anybody I've ever seen in my life. He said he and I, in the last meeting, shared an apartment, and we each one had a bedroom, and I heard him talking to somebody in that room. And so he said he kept on and on, and I thought to myself, well, didn't anybody go in there? Because it had to come through the little hallway between the two bedrooms, and I would have seen him. And he's holding a conversation with somebody. He's talking to somebody. And so he said, after about 45 minutes, I thought, now there's somebody in there, because said he'll talk and then he'll listen and he'll say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I understand that. And he said, I kept listening, couldn't hear anybody answering him back. So I cracked the door and peeped in and said, he is sitting down in the middle of the floor with his eyes shut and talking, and he'd talk and he'd listen, he'd answer back and he'd listen and he'd say, yeah, that's right. That's right. And I thought, well, I guess he's a praying. He's talking to somebody. Well, that's what I was doing. Praise God. Yes, thank God we can. Our spiritual nature is capable of culture that will enable us to know God and to commune intelligently with Him. You see, it was God's dream that man should be His, God's companion, so that his spiritual faculties were originally attuned to the pitch of God's dream. But through the fall, when Adam sinned, man was alienated from God. His spiritual faculties were greatly impaired. Yet through Christ, this lost fellowship is restored. And thank God, the supernatural realm is really the realm of the believer. Hallelujah. Man must have fellowship for his spiritual nature. There must be a culture and a development. The spiritual nature, or to develop the spiritual nature, to the point where it can enjoy fellowship with the Father God. The heart, or the spirit, when the Bible talks about the heart of man, he's talking about the spirit of man, craves the touch of the supernatural. And you see, friends, the new birth is supernatural. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said. All things have become new. He's talking about the inward man. He's talking about the spirit. When you are born again, you don't get a new body. You still got the same old body you had. Thank God you will have a new body one day, and that'll be a glorious day. But that man on the inside has become a new man. And that man's a supernatural being, a new creation. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then after you become a new creature and are born of the Spirit of God, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And that's a supernatural experience. And it's accompanied with a supernatural sign. It said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. And then not only should we, oh, didn't anybody teach us? Some of us just had to find it out for ourselves. But 41 years ago, when I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, you know, the teaching I had just seemed to leave the impression that that's the end of it. It stops right there, you know. But my brother, sister, we as spirit-filled believers can continue to communicate with God on a supernatural level. Praise God. In a supernatural language. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 14:2, if any man, you see, he said that if any man speak in an unknown tongue, he's speaking not unto men. He's not talking to men. He's not communicating naturally, but he's talking to God. He's speaking not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, he speaketh mysteries. Or the one translation said he's talking divine secrets. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, he, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. For no man, he said, understands him. And so, we continue in our supernatural walk with a supernatural prayer life. Blessed be God. And I'll tell you, it's praying in the Spirit that'll bring miracles. It's praying in the Spirit that'll bring the power of God down. Somebody asked me, a Baptist preacher. I started out as a young Baptist boy preacher, just a teenager. And then was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues 3 or 4 years later. After I'd been preaching about 3 years, or about 3.5 years. And so a Baptist pastor in recent time, in conversing with me, as we were talking about this, he said, well, I can see praying for the sick and laying hands on the sick, and I'm beginning to do that in my Southern Baptist church on Sunday night. I have a public healing meeting and lay hands on people and have a healing line, and I can see, you know, I have the Holy Ghost. I'm born of the Spirit. I said, that's exactly right. We will not take anything away from you. You have the Holy Ghost. You're born. Oh, I thought you were saying I don't have the Holy Ghost because I haven't spoken in tongues. No, I said, you were born of the Spirit of God, but you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, he said, I think so. I think so. How can you tell? Well, I said, the only way I know is Acts 2:4 said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When they got full, they started talking, praise God, in other tongues. And so he said, well, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, all right, but I don't know. I don't know whether I want that tongues business or not. Has it done anything for you? Yeah, I said, it sure has. I said, thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and don't you misunderstand me. It isn't all tongues, and we don't want to leave that impression, but right on the other hand, tongues are a part of it. Just don't leave that out. Just take all of it, you see. To leave tongues out would be sort of like to describe an elephant and leave his trunk off. Well, a trunk is not all there is to an elephant, but without the trunk, it wouldn't be an elephant. Are you listening to me? And speaking with tongues is not all there is to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. But blessed be God, it's part of it. Let's don't leave it out. Let's take the whole thing in. Amen. Can you say amen? And so I said to this Baptist pastor, let me tell you. I said, I was going along doing the best I could. And even as a young Baptist boy preacher, I said, I was healed by the power of God. I saw what the Bible said about faith in Mark 11:23-24 and prayed the prayer of faith for myself and was raised up from a deathbed. And then I taught that, laid hands on people, anointed them with oil because the Bible said, saw a few people healed. But I said, since being filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues, that's been the greatest boon, first to my own individual spiritual life and second to my ministerial spiritual life. Amen. Many times I prayed an hour or two in other tongues and went out to the service and the power of God fell on us and every sinner in the house got saved. Amen. Every single sinner in the house got saved. Every backslider got saved. I've spent an hour or two praying in another tongue. I was going to preach a fellowship meeting several years ago down in East Texas. They'd invited me to preach this fellowship meeting. I was still pastor. And so I got up real early, and when the sun was coming up, the parson's right next door to the church, I was walking up and down the aisles of that church praying in other tongues, tuning up, getting ready, getting in the supernatural realm. And so I went to this fellowship meeting of my particular full gospel denomination of that day, and they gave me the service about 11 o'clock, and I preached about 40 minutes, and then I gave what we call a message, an utterance in tongues, and the pastor of that church interpreted it. And then I gave another utterance in tongues, and the pastor of that church interpreted it. And then without anybody saying anything, there came something. Every preacher, those of authority said, you know, there's something just swept through there like wind. I heard it blowing. Something swept through that building. It just went, and everybody in there that was lost got saved. And everybody in there that didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost began speaking in tongues, just sitting right in the chair. And every sick person in the place got healed. Nobody touched one of them. They had rolled a woman in on a stretcher. She had had 6 operations. She had had this one. Now she's still, you know, doctor said we've done all we can do. She's dying. And when that went, she jumped off that stretcher and started running up and down the aisles. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see the Holy Ghost, the supernatural. The supernatural. You see, man, the heart of the spirit of man craves the touch of the supernatural. And God's provided it for us. The love for the miraculous is in every man. In every man. The curiosity for the miraculous is deep-seated in man. Man was brought into being by a miracle-working God and will ever yearn to work miracles. The supernatural realm is really man's realm. Sin has blinded us and kept us from finding the secret door, so to speak, that will lead us back to our lost estate. But thank God the hunger is there. And if we'll seek after it and seek after God, we'll find it. And the miracle is the way to bring the man to God. Is there a miracle element in Christianity today? There should be. Did miracles end with the death of the apostles, like some people tell us? Are the so-called miracles that men claim to perform today, are they fraudulent? Or are they purely psychic? Now these are questions that we cannot ignore. I know there's come a falling away from the part of the churches. Even churches who used to believe in the supernatural, and the supernatural was an everyday occurrence, so to speak, in their midst. Now the supernatural has waned, and the miraculous is no longer in manifestation. Modernism, in many quarters, dominates the great religious forces of Christendom. Its denial of the supernatural in Christianity makes it simply an ethical religion. On the other hand, we have those like myself and others who are contending, blessed be God, for the miraculous, for the power of God. A leader of one of our leading full gospel denominations said to me, in our full gospel denomination that was born, you see, in the fire of the Spirit and the outpouring of the power of God, in the supernatural and in the miraculous. He said in our state, our meetings, not just little sectional meetings, but statewide meetings, we'd have as little as 50 people and 100 people show up. And so we had a meeting. And they discussed just dispensing with certain meetings because nobody's coming. And this gentleman said to me, I just held my peace, and finally one minister said, I believe we ought to ask Brother so-and-so. He's an elder in our midst because he was one of the founding fathers of the Pentecostal movement. I believe we ought to ask him. And so he said they asked me to comment. I wouldn't have commented if they hadn't. But he said when they asked me to comment, he said, I rose and said, gentlemen, I believe we're out of order. And even discussing canceling any meetings, I think there's only one thing that we need to talk about. That is how to make our meetings more spiritual. That is how to bring the supernatural working again into our midst. And he said, we began to work on that. Now then, there's only 3 churches in the state that can house the crowd that comes to a monthly fellowship meeting. Amen, because the crowds have grown. You see, their own people were hungry for the supernatural. And when the supernatural began to be manifested, and the supernatural was into manifestation, the people came, blessed be God. They came in the days of Jesus, because he was a miracle worker. And I'll tell you, when Jesus is working today, when you'll turn him loose, when you'll let him work in your midst, they'll come again. Praise God. Fred Price is an example of that. We went there to his little church. I called it a cracker box church because somebody handed him some of my books and some of these tapes, and he got hung up on this and said, come and help us. And so we went because the Spirit of God said, go. And in a little old auditorium that would seat maybe 150 in a little bitty balcony, we finally crowded about, packed in like crackers, about 300 in there. And then he went over, you see, and bought other facilities, and in 4 years' time has gone from 300 to averaging about 3,750 people every Sunday morning. Glory to God. And I've been there on Sunday morning. You're not to preach. They didn't even know I was coming, you see. And I didn't preach. And I said, no, Fred, I just want to sit back. And all he did is walked up and down, walked around the altar and taught the word, the supernatural, the miracle working word of God. And then gave an invitation before he prayed for the sick. And you know what? He averages anywhere from 40 to 80 people, I guess, every Sunday morning coming. That's got to get saved and filled with the Spirit and join the church. And then he has a healing meeting, you see. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. I remember years ago, I used to go down in Texas to Texas District Council meetings of the Assemblies of God. And I remember again and again. And I took it as a youngster, just as a teenager, from Raymond T. Ritchie. He said, divine healing is the dinner bell. Keep ringing that bell. People will come. I went back to my little old church, you know, that's running less than 100 in Sunday school. Just did what Richie said. I started ringing the dinner bell. Every Saturday night I rang the dinner bell and nothing happened. We fell flat on our face. I mean, for 6 months, nothing happened. But after 6 months, things started happening. Praise God, the insane were delivered. The paralyzed were healed. People were raised up from deathbeds, and people came from several counties around and would fill the building up on Saturday night. Glory to God. You see, I just kept on ringing the bell. I've been ringing it for 44 years. I'm not going to quit now. I'm going to keep on ringing it. Hallelujah. Because you see, the Word of God works. Men and miracles. Jesus is as much a miracle as ever. He hasn't changed. Man needs this miraculous touch today just as much as he ever did. Some people said, we don't need it today. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We need it today. We need it today. Well, thank God we can act upon God's word, and God's word will work just as much now as it did in days gone by. Jesus Christ, the Bible said, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's the same Jesus now as he was then. If he healed back yonder, he heals today. If he worked miracles then, he worked miracles today. Now, he works. We need to find out how he works. You see, when you can find out how he works and you can work with him, then, blessed be God, things will happen. I want you to open your Bibles with me. I could quote it, but I want you to open it so you'll be sure and get it. To the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. The 16th chapter of St. Mark. Now we all believe the Great Commission. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We believe that. And we believe that is still in force today. That commission is still valid today. But he went on to say, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now how did he work? We said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he was here on the earth, he was working miracles and healings in person. Now, he's not here in person today, but he's still the same every day. And he's working with us just like he worked with them. The Lord working with them, doing what? Confirming the word. Woo, glory. Not confirming some preacher. Not confirming some personality. Confirming the word. Confirming the word with signs following. Remember the last church I pastored? I was reading this one day, got stirred up about it, began to fast and pray and wait on God. Now, Lord, I said, things are comfortable in our church. Got no reason in the world not to be. I'm living in the best pastorage I ever lived in. I'm getting the most money I ever got. Everything's fine. Church is growing. Sunday school's growing. Money in the church is fine. Got every reason in the world to be satisfied. Few people are getting saved. Few people being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Few folks being healed along. And in fact, in 12 years of pastoral work, we never did bury one single church member. Not a one. Not a one. We had 80-some-odd-year-old people healed of terminal cancer. Praise God. Now, he confirms his word. How'd you get those people healed? That's God. I just went into the home, climbed up in the bed with him if he's a man, and laid down by the side, just kept putting the word in him. I read the word to him all night long. All night long. I've had 80-some-odd-year-old people tell me, you know, just went there to pastor. They wouldn't have gotten that mess to begin with if I'd been pastor. But we just went there. We just come to pastor. They said, Grandma's in the hospital, Brother Hagin. She's given up to die with cancer of the stomach. Well, blessed be God, I went to visit Grandma. And Grandma said, well, Brother Goodwin's here. He knows to it. They'd already contacted him to preach a funeral. Isn't that right, Brother Goodwin? Stand up if that's so. Just wave. They'd already contacted you to preach a funeral. Isn't it? That's exactly right. That's how far gone she was. Brother Hagin, I'm 82. She said, I've suffered with this cancer of the stomach so long. Just leave me alone. Let me die. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, Grandma. I said, let God heal you and then die if you want to. But don't die like this. God's not going to get any glory out of it. Now, I had to talk her out of dying first. Amen. Before I could talk her into living. See? That's really, a lot of people go ahead and die. Nobody talks them out of it. They talk them into it. I don't believe God wants you to die with sickness. Amen. I just don't believe that. I believe God wants you to live your full length of time out. He'll let you know. It's time to go. Amen. This same dear old lady that we got healed at 82 lived to be 91. And I inquired about it. Be sure I'd taught her well. He confirms his word, you see. I inquired, how'd Grandma die? They said she didn't get sick. No. Said she just told him it's time for me to go home. Set me in a rocker. She said, there's Jesus. Goodbye. And took off. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, we'd taught her 9 years before, you see. Now, he confirmed, what I want to establish with you, he confirms what? He confirms your ministry. Your personality. Your eloquence. Your education. Your degrees. Your church? No. What does he confirm? His word. How does he confirm it? With signs. Woo! Glory. Follow it. Not going ahead of them. Following it. These signs will follow. You got to put the word out first. I said, if I could see a few signs, wouldn't mind that. Well, you won't ever see any of them. You got to put the word out in faith before you see anything. Amen. Are you listening to me? And then the signs will follow the word. So I said to the Lord, Lord, things are happening in my church all right, but it seems to me as I read Acts 16 that everything's not happening it ought to happen. There ought to be more signs of what we've got here. And I kept fasting, kept praying, and about the third day of my fast, that's the longest I ever fasted in my life, was 3 days. Somebody said, well, don't you think even long fast? No, really don't. Really don't. Not necessary. You ought to have some purpose of fasting. And when you find the answer, quit. I got my answer in the third day. It's ever taken me over 3 days to get the answer in 44 years. And it shouldn't you. Amen. And so I said, the third day the Lord said to me, I said I'd confirm my word with signs following. I said, I know that, Lord. See, I talked about communion with God. Somebody said, how did he say that to you? Well, where is he? God, the Holy Ghost, is living in me. That's where he is. He's not going to speak out of heaven in tones of thunder. He might, he could if he wanted to, but he's not out to do that. He's going to talk right down in here. Amen. As Narvel Hayes said, right down here in your belly. And that's scriptural. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's going to talk to you right down in here in your belly. That's your spirit. Your innermost being, the Bible calls it. It also calls it your belly. Right down in here. That's, you know, we call it a still small voice sometimes. And that's the reason a lot of folks never hear anything. They never get still enough. And they're not small enough to listen. They're too big, you see. They can't hear from God or anybody else. Don't shout me down now. Just cause I'm preaching real good. Amen. I told you we didn't have anything cut and dried about these. And so he said, I would confirm my word. I said, I know that. That's what I'm praying about. That's what I'm fasting about. I want to get you to do it. He said, I would confirm my word with signs following. I said, I know you said that. See, I didn't know as much back there 30 years ago as I do now. I've learned 2 or 3 things in 30 years. See? I said, I know you said you'd confirm your word with signs following, and that's what I'm trying to do is get you to do it. He said, I'd confirm my word with signs following. I said, I know that, Lord. That's what I've been telling you. It's written right here. It is. I read it. Here it is. You said you'd confirm your word with signs following, and that's what I want you to do. He said, do you think I'm a liar? Oh, no. I said, you're not a liar. Well, he said, you won't even have to pray that I'd do it. You won't even have to fast that I'll do it. If you'll put the word out, I'll do it. He said, I said, I'll confirm my word. Huh? Put the word out. Oh, I said, Lord, I'm a stickler for the word. I've always been a word man. You know me. I'm a word man. He said, check up on what you're preaching. I checked up on it and I was amazed. I was preaching 60% word. I was preaching 5% tradition. I was preaching 35% unbelief. Now, you know, I just whacked that unbelief off instantly. But I had problems with that tradition. I got to digging down there, Brother Osteen. One day there in praying, waiting on God. Seemed like I reached down here on the inside of me in my spirit and pulled up something. It's the ugliest looking thing. Looked like an old dead octopus. Had all of these legs on it, you know. Looked like it had a dozen legs or more. Just a black looking thing. You know, when you get into the spirit, it's hard to describe things in the natural. But I had that kind of a spiritual experience. I reached down inside me and pulled that thing out. I was laying everything out on the altar. All of my motives. Why I want to do this. Did God put that in there? Is that just my own self? And I got down to this. And I pulled that thing up. And I looked at that thing. I said, my, that's an ugly. What in the world? And I laid it on the altar because I was putting everything on the altar. I said, what in the world is that? Now, I'd been out of the Baptist church for 11 or 12 years. He said, that's some of your old Baptist tradition still down in there. That's what he said. I had to leave it laying on the altar. You got to get rid of it before the word will work. And then I got down to something else. It didn't look so ugly. It looked a little prettier. But it looked sort of like a tin can. See, a tin can, you know, if it's not rusty, it's bright and shiny. And this was bright and shiny. Tin can. That's sort of what it looked like. And I lifted that thing up. Down in here. Got it out of me. And I said, what in the world is that? He said, that's some of your Pentecostal tradition. I had to put that on the altar. Amen. And in my church, I like to try things out and prove them out. And I began to, in my church, leave off tradition, leave off, cut that doubt and unbelief out, preach more word. And immediately in my church, we began to get more signs and wanted more of the supernatural, more of the miraculous was immediately in manifestation. Immediately is in manifestation. And then God said, go out on the field. And I went purposefully. I went on purpose. On purpose. Just to prove that it worked. I like to prove things out. I don't know about you, but if I hadn't have been a preacher, if God hadn't called me to preach, I'd have liked to have been a lawyer. My wife said I'd have made a good one. She said I'd argue with the signpost. Try to convince that signpost is wrong. But I used to because I was afflicted with a heart condition and I'd go there in McKinney, Texas and sat in the courthouse and I was 11, 12 years old, 10 years old, and I'd sit there all day long listen to them argue cases. And in high school, I was always on the debating team, and if I could say it humbly, we never lost. Never, never, never lost. In any debates, never lost. When I first started preaching, I didn't have much sense. I sort of like some other fellas I know. In you, don't you? And up till I was about 25 years old, you know, I didn't know too much. Started preaching at 17, but from 17 to 21, I'd argue with anybody. I'd debate a fellow on the Bible. You know, you always got these fellows looking for debate. And if I could say it humbly, I don't think I can, but I never did lose one of them. Because I'd argue them down with the scriptures. I even got the Church of Christ to pat me on the back and said, you're the first man outside of Church of Christ we ever seen that's saved. I mean, that was the preachers are doing it. Because I'd beat them in debate. They'd quote one scripture and I'd quote two. I'd just arguing them down. Just, amen. Well, that's that being his name. Where were we in our message? Anybody remember where was it, Brother Osteen? Now, we've lost him. Well, I knew where it was. Just wanted to see if y'all did. No, he don't confirm debates with signs following. There wasn't any signs following that. We still all, both of us, just believe what we had been believing. No, he confirms his word. And so when I went out on the field in field ministry, I on purpose. I like to prove things. That's what I said to you. I like to prove things out. And I knew if this word would work in the most inopportune places, people would see that it works. And I didn't go fasting. I'd fast some. But I mean long fast. I didn't go doing a lot of unnecessary praying. I pray all the time. I talk to God all the time. I'm never out of fellowship. Somebody asked me one time, "Brother, you believe in praying through?" I said, "If you need to, you ought to pray through." But I haven't prayed through in 44 years. I stay through. You ought to be in contact with God every morning, every night, between meals and all the time. See? Now, if you need to pray through, go ahead and pray through. But a man ought to stay through. Just live in contact with God. Live, walk in the supernatural realm every day. Walk in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Praise God. Stay in the Spirit. Well, I would go to some places, like I said, on purpose, where they said you couldn't have revivals. We used to call it, they'd call it burnover fields. And we'd have a revival. The supernatural would work. The power of God would come down. And you know, I didn't trouble about it. I slept every night, just rested. The Bible said, "We which do believe have entered into rest." Now why? Because you see, I trusted this word to do it. Somebody said, "Well, I believe in God." Friends, believing in God is believing in this word. You don't have any more faith in God than you have in this word. And I just believe that the word would do it. And so I'd lean back on God and just put out the word. And they'd come around and tell me, "Well, now you can't have revival here. You see, the crowd's falling off. Can't you see it? Can't you see? The crowd's diminishing." And I'd laugh. And they thought, "It's crazy. See, I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith." I said, "No, the word's working. I'm planting the seed." And we'd get over about the third week, you see, and the crowd's smaller sometimes the third week than it was the first week. But the blind start seeing, the crippled start walking, the deaf start hearing, things start happening, and here they come. Because, you see, we'd planted the seed. He'll confirm the word. I had to have time to get some word out. There had to be something there for him to confirm, because there hadn't been too much put out for him to confirm. Amen. Now notice what he said. He said, he'll confirm the word with signs following. No, these apostles and these early day Christians just didn't go out and start healing the sick and casting out devils without putting out any word. The first thing they did was to preach the word. And the Lord working with them. Now find out how he works. And then he'll work with you supernaturally. Hallelujah. He'll work with the businessman. He'll work with the preacher if he'll put the word to work in his life. Every single one of us. Now, the supernatural is man's realm. Because as I said, he was created by a supernatural God. And man is really a spirit being. One sense of the word, he's an eternal being. And a supernatural being himself, because he's in the same class with God and the same class with angels, because they're all spirit beings, and we're spirit beings. We have a soul, we live in a body. And our spirits, whether we're saved or unsaved, lives forever. When the body dies, you don't die. That's not the end of it. You're either going up to heaven or going down to hell, one of the two. But you see, we're living in a day when the mind and the body rules men. We've got very few spirit-ruled men. But God intended that our spirits should dominate us, and not our minds, and not our bodies. And when you get your spirit born again, filled with the Spirit, and that's not enough, then educated in the Word of God, your spirit educated in the Word of God. Your mind renewed with the Word of God. And your spirit educated in the Word of God. Then the supernatural becomes as natural to you as it's just as natural for a fish to swim in the water. It'd be just as natural for you to operate in the supernatural. Because that's your natural realm. Praise God. Man and miracles. And so men in the world, Christian world, and even a lot of times in the spirit-filled Christian world, are living so far beneath their privileges that if God gets through to them, he'll have to come from the outside because they won't listen to him on the inside. They haven't been taught to do so. He'll have to move in a supernatural, miraculous way from the outside to get into their spirits. And then lost humanity is spiritually dead. Now that doesn't mean that his spirit doesn't exist, because it does exist. His spirit is separated. His spirit from God is alienated from God. And so if God's going to get into his spirit, he's got to go through his physical senses and through the natural to get into his spirit. Now you see, that's the thing that attracts attention. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, and they began, the 120, to speak with other tongues, and that was noised abroad, the crowd came together. The miraculous drawed their attention. Then Peter stood up and preached. And 3,000 souls was converted. You see, the miraculous, the supernatural, drew them. Then Peter preached the word to them, told them how to be saved, and what to believe, and they became Christians. Now, so many times, we let God move in the supernatural realm only as far, and he is a gentleman, and he won't go beyond what you will permit him to go, as far as you will allow him. Some people, they'll let the Lord go far enough to manifest himself, the Holy Spirit, in speaking with tongues, sometimes interpretation. But I know some churches would not at all let God go any further, even the gift of prophecy to be in manifestation, or the prophet's ministry to be in manifestation. Or some of the other gifts of the Spirit. See, they're all supernatural. Are you listening to me? Every one of them are supernatural. The gifts of the Spirit are not natural gifts. They're supernatural gifts. Gifts of healings, spoken of in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is not medical science, has nothing to do with medical science. That's natural healing. This is supernatural healing. Healed by the power of God. Thank God for supernatural healing. Now don't misunderstand me, I believe in natural healing. And if you need help in the natural realm, fine. And if you don't have the money to pay for it, I'll try to raise an offering or give you some money. I've done that and helped people. I'm certainly not opposed to medicine, not opposed to doctors, not opposed to medical science. Thank God for all the good they can do. But I'll tell you, I know a better way. I said, I know a better way. And for 44 years, God's been my healer. You know, I haven't even had an aspirin. Now, if you hadn't needed an aspirin, it's all right, take one. Don't misunderstand me at all. But I haven't even taken an aspirin. I haven't even had a headache in 44 years. You see, this word works. I believe that's supernatural in itself. I said, I believe that's supernatural in itself. Man, go to hell for lying just because you wouldn't steal it. I haven't had one single headache in 44 years. Here, a while back, I left the office out here one afternoon, and suddenly there's a pain struck me, you know. What are you going to do? I said, uh-oh, no you don't, Mr. Devil. It's been 44 years since I've had a headache, and I'm not about to have one now. And, you know, just like you snapped your finger left. Never return. Just never return. Hallelujah. But you see, you've got to get your spirit trained in the Word for that to work for you. Someone said, I wish that worked for me. It won't work by wishing. I hope I get there. You won't get there by hoping. You'll get there by getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God in you and practicing that Word and believing that Word and acting upon that Holy Word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're talking about man and the supernatural. That's man's natural realm. A spirit realm. Supernatural realm. The miracle realm. I remember I was pastor of Little Full Gospel Church down in East Texas, 1943. And in my study, February, I got it written down, the date, just exactly, 1943, during World War Number Two. I was praying. In fact, that day, I purposely, I didn't have any leading to do it. I didn't have any inspiration to do it. I didn't feel like doing it. I felt like not doing it. But I made myself and forced myself to pray 5 hours and 45 minutes in other tongues. And at the 5 hour and 45 minute mark, there was a manifestation of God's power. And I grabbed my pencil and began to write it down. Here's what he said. At the end of World War Number Two, there will come a revival of divine healing to America. February of 1943. Now, in September of 1944, I was preaching a young people's rally in the First Assembly of God Church in Longview, Texas. And I gave them what God had given me over a year before. See, World War Number Two is not even over yet. It wasn't over until August of 45, about a year after I was preaching this. And while I was preaching, the power of God fell on that crowd, and I didn't ask anybody to kneel. Every preacher, every pastor, every minister made a run for the altar, and everybody fell on their knees all over the building. It's instant, like you just snapped your finger, was turned into an instant prayer meeting from one end to the other. Well, we saw that revival come. It began about 1947 and lasted through about 1958. In 1958, now you listen to me carefully now. In 1958, I was holding a revival meeting, my second revival meeting, in the Oak Cliff Assembly of God Church in Dallas, Texas, where Brother H.C. Noah is pastor, still pastor there, except they got a new building. And I said from the pulpit, I'm saying these things so you know where I said it, because I got witnesses. I said from the pulpit, the healing revival is waning and about over. Now let me tell you where the next revival is. I announced it from the pulpit. I said, the next revival's in the church. They thought I meant in the full gospel church, Pentecost church. No, no. The next revival, I said, is in the denominational church. And so there came this charismatic move. And standing there on that platform in the spirit, I saw myself. I saw myself preaching in Baptist churches, and Methodist churches, Catholic churches even, Disciples of Christ, denomination. And everything I saw has come to pass, and I've done it. I've done it. And there's come this great charismatic move where thousands. I've been right still in the convention. Still in the convention. Praise God, we had 150 filled with the Holy Ghost, people falling under the power all over the house. I've been in a Christian church, Disciples of Christ. Already 400 of them and 50 had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, another 150 while I was there. And people falling under the power all over the house. Remind you of old time Pentecost. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You see, that's happened. We've had that. And that's not all over yet. But now let me tell you where the next move is now. Remember I said I found myself saying, I had to ask Ken what I said. You know when you move in the spirit, your head don't know everything you say. I was preaching, you know, Fred, that second camp meeting here over in the Sheridan Road Assembly. We used that for our first two camp meetings. And I said one night in preaching, well, Barry was there, that I was going to start a Bible school or a training center. My wife said, honey, you know what you said? I said, what? Said, you said you was going to start a training center. I said, I didn't say that. Yeah, she said, you did? I said, no, I didn't. I had to go back and play the tape. And I said it, you know what? You was there, I said it. Yeah. Board members heard me say it. I didn't know I said it. Didn't realize I said it. I had to go back and play the tape. I said, well, if I said it, I guess we'll have to do it. That didn't come out of my head, come out of my spirit. Because I didn't think it, you see. And so we did it. We did it. Praise God. Now, see, that all came about because I suddenly said something out of my spirit that the Spirit of God inspired me to say. And you can see God was in it. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. People don't know the word. Well, down in Atlanta, I had to ask Ken because I didn't listen to the tape. I said, what did I say before the service night? Because I was trying to remember it. If it don't come through your head, you can't remember it. See, it never did register on my mental processes. So I had to, you saw me take him behind the curtain there, you see. And I asked Ken, what did I say there in Atlanta? I was in the spirit. I was ministering. Things were happening. What did I say? Amen. Because God was dealing with me about this message, you see, and he said, you said, mark my word for it, write it down. Now then, you mark my word, it's a carryover from Atlanta, but write it down right now, and remember I said it. I went back yonder to those two other things to so you could see that what I said. You see, when you speak in the Spirit, I don't mean just speak, I wasn't speaking by faith or anything like that. Faith's confession's in line with the word works. But see, this is in line with the word, it's a revelation from God. I was preaching down in South Texas, that Brother Goodwin knows about this because he's a pastor of a church there. And I went over to Hold Him Revival. And I'd come from another place. And I said not to Brother Goodwin because I preached one place first before I went to Brother Goodwin. I said, you watch it. And if it don't happen, I'm a false prophet. That pastor over at that other church, 1 week from next Sunday night, will fall dead in the pulpit. Well, 1 week from that next Sunday night, that fellow finished his sermon, giving the altar call, and fell across the altar dead. You say, did he go to hell? No, he went to heaven. You say, a Pentecostal preacher? Yeah, he missed God. It can cost your life sometime to miss God. Are you out there? You're going home. Are you listening to me? See, that didn't come to pass because I spoke it out. That came to pass because it was revealed to me. You see, God told me to go to his church. I said, Lord, I don't want to go to his church. He's not my kind. Brother Goodman knows what I'm talking about. He's not my kind. I don't want to go there. Don't fit me. He said, I want you to go. I said, why? He said, that man's going to die. He's only 43 years old. He don't need to die. If he'll listen to what you teach in the day services, he'll not die. He'll live. He didn't come to one of the day services in his own church. He's too busy. His wife said, Brother Hagin, see if you can get my husband to come to this. Think about holding a meeting in a church and get a husband to come to the services. The pastor. She said, my husband, I always thought we knew as much as anybody. We wouldn't listen to anybody else. But he needs to hear what you are saying. I said, I know it. I said, you see, sister, your husband's going to die. She said, I know that. She's also an ordained minister. She said, I know that. I don't have a revelation like you do, but I know it in my spirit. I said, you don't have to. She said, I know we don't have to. So he was there 3 weeks and he wasn't in one day service. Finally, we were out to eat one day and I began to talk to him. I got desperate, but I said to him, did you know you're going to die? He said, yeah, I know I'm going to die. I said, you don't have to die, not at 43. You can live your life out and then die. He said, I know it. Now you think about a pastor. But he said, you see, I'd rather die than admit I'm wrong. And if I admit that you're right, then I'm wrong. And I'd rather just go ahead and die. When he said that to me, I didn't tell him, but the Spirit of God said to me, now he'll die Sunday night week. He'll fall dead in his pulpit. And I said that to several other preachers and it came to pass. Just like I said, it came to pass. It came to pass. He fell dead. Well, I'm glad he went to heaven. I'm sorry he disobeyed God. Don't shout me down now. This is a little solemn, you see. Now, there is going to be a return of the supernatural in this realm. I've touched it a few times. I've stood there like standing on the brow of the hill and looking out over the valley beneath. I've got out in it, but I got scared. I'll be honest with you. And I got back because I was afraid like Enoch. I got out there too far. I couldn't get back. I'd keep going. And like the astronauts going into space, they didn't just go to the moon the first time they went up. First time, they just barely got up there, right into the edge of it, tested it out. I've been testing it out for 44 years, praise God. Swinging out the edge of it, making a few orbits occasionally. And I'm about to swing on out yonder, bless God, and make a shot, bless God. Amen. It's going to skyrocket all the way to the stars. There's going to be a return of the supernatural. The prophet's ministry in these days will come into manifestation. For the prophet, you see, is a seer. He sees into the realm of the Spirit. He stands very often on the horizon of time and sees into two worlds, into the spirit world and into the natural world, and interprets into the natural world that which he sees in the spirit world. And that's where I was standing those few times I spoke to you about. And so I suddenly heard myself say down there in Atlanta, let me write it down. Here's the revival that's coming. A manifestation of the supernatural, not in a new way, and yet it'll be new to many folks who've never been there, and so many have never been there. It's in the Bible. It's in line with the Word of God. There'll be a manifestation of the supernatural power of God. Men who sit here tonight, including myself, will stand in the office of the prophet and will minister. Amen. In many ways that they should have been ministering, and yet they've only ministered a few ways. The glory of God will come down upon whole congregations until the whole building will be filled with a cloud. And people will see that. In the Old Testament that happened. When the cloud of the Lord filled the temple, the glory of God, and then they called it a cloud. And you could see it as a cloud. I see it very often in my meetings. And when I see it come rolling in, I didn't say anything about it. And the Lord said to me, go to talking about it. Go to talking about it. And when we'd have people lined up to minister to the sick down there in Brother Goodman's church one time, first assembly in Pasadena. And I laid hands on a few folks, and as I laid hands on them individually, they fell. And then suddenly I saw this cloud come rolling in. And when it got right over the people, I didn't touch them. You see, I just waved my hand that way, and the whole bunch went down like dominoes. And I was about to go down myself. I'll step out of the cloud and keep them going down. And I started back across the first of that first assembly where Brother Goodwin was pastor. He's here tonight, you see. And I don't know, I was going to lay my hand on his shoulder to steady myself. Because I was about to go wobbling down like a drunk man. And when I touched him, see, nobody but he and I up here. He's just like some unseen force just picked him up and threw him back up under the front seat. The power of God was so in manifestation. I've seen the power of God move. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to move these ways in these days. That's what I'm going to tell you. Until some people in my meeting said, and they were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know for sure whether that's God or not. The Lord said to me, go touch him with your finger. I touched him and he did like somebody knocked him in the head with the ball bat and fell flat on the floor. Then he said to me, tell them to get up. And they couldn't get up. Couldn't. It's glued to the floor. Just let them lay there for a while. Finally, he said to me, go over there and ask him if they acknowledge that this, not just this, but what's going on in these meetings is the power of God. And I went over and asked him. They said, yeah, it's the power of God. Then he said, touch him. I touched him and they were loosed. We've seen a little manifestation of that. But there's coming a greater manifestation. You mark my word. Are you listening to me? There'll be people that'll fall under the power of God and lay there for 10 to 12 hours. They can't get up. You can't lift them up. I've had people in my meetings to stand there like a statue. Somebody said, because it is winter time. You remember this happened to Brother Goodman many years ago. Let's move that girl closer to the fire, the stove, because it's winter time. And grown men, several of us got a hold of her, though a little 16-year-old girl weighed less than 100 pounds. And you couldn't move her. She was glued to the floor. And she stood there like a statue with her hands up and eyes open for 8 hours and 45 minutes. Amen. Some boy went off and said, I was hypnotized. No, I wasn't hypnotized. The power of God fell on. She just recently, that night, was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Why would all those things happen? Signs. By the hands of the apostles were many signs. And what do you think these signs were? Sure, there were healings, but then there were signs and wonders that were wrought. Hallelujah. One of my services, a lady, really, she is older than I, but younger in ministry. She just felt called to the ministry. And I was given the altar call. We were singing, just as I am. Nobody came to the altar. She's sitting right on the front seat. I noticed the Spirit of God moving on her. And I listened to what she was saying. She was speaking in English, but she was exhorting people to come to be saved. So when they came to the end of the verse, I said, go ahead, Sister Goodman. Let me say this. This is also true. Go ahead. Which you have said. A power that's given even from the throne where I am. I didn't catch that. Say it again. That all might hear who are present. And know when it comes. That it is from me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. That's what the Spirit says. We've got the same Spirit they had in the New Testament. Same power, same Holy Ghost. Remember what Paul said to the elders of the church at Ephesus? I go bound in spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things. See, this is 16th chapter of Acts before you get to the 21st chapter. Not knowing the things that befall me there, save that the Spirit witnesseth in every place that bonds and afflictions abide me. In other words, everywhere he went, the Holy Ghost was witnessing that bonds and afflictions were ahead of him. Getting him ready for it, you see. The Holy Ghost witnesses concerning things, getting you ready for it. Are you listening to me? So I said to this young lady, as we concluded one verse of Just As I Am, the singer stopped, I said, go ahead and obey God. Let's go ahead and obey God. Now she stepped forward, opened her eyes, see, because she's standing there with her eyes shut, exhorting, in English, exhorting people to be saved. I recognize the Spirit's upon her. And so she stepped up and stepped up on the altar. An altar bench almost as long as the platform. And, oh, nearly 20 inches wide, I guess. And so she, when she stepped up on the altar, she closed her eyes and continued then to prophesy or read it to exhort. And she walked down to the end of the altar. And so I sat down then when the Spirit through her took over. A lot of people wouldn't let the Spirit. But we ought to be conscious enough to the Spirit to know when the Spirit's moving. And if he wants to move and take over, let him take over. And so I just sat down on the platform. And she walked right to the end of that altar with her eyes shut. And I thought to myself, because, you know, just I thought she was going to step right off, fall right on her face. But right at the right second, she turned and headed back the other way. Her foot was off when she turned. Walked down to the end of the altar, exhorting people to come to be saved. In English, you see, exhorting them. Exhorting. There is a ministry of exhortation. And come to the end of the altar, looked like she's going to step off, turn right at the right minute. Just whipped around like some power had a hold of her. And she walked up and down there a few times exhorting. Somebody got up and came to the altar. Now she had her eyes shut. She couldn't have known somebody came to the altar because her eyes was closed. But she knew in her spirit someone had come. And so she just stopped right where she was and just danced a little jig, just one or two steps, quick steps for joy, and went right back to exhorting. And another one came. And she had danced a little step. And another one came, and she danced a little step. And another one came, and she danced a little step. And another one came, and she danced a little step. Finally, I learned later, every sinner and every backslider in the house came and knelt in the altar. Every one of them. When the last one come, see, in her spirit, she knew that all had come. She come right down that altar of dancing with her eyes shut, came right off of the end of the altar, and just stood right up there and opened right in the air and danced and never hit the floor. Whole house saw it. Never touched the floor. Never touch the floor. That's miraculous, folks. Amen. Dance right back on the altar, dance down to the other end of it, open her eyes, stepped off and sat down. Now let me tell you another one. Because I'm going to get you ready. Things like this are going to happen. Are you following me? I've told you why already. My wife and I were pastors of Little Assembly of God Church in Farmersville, Texas, 1943 and 44. We went over to Greenville during World War II to shop one day. One of our members there we took that lived in Greenville. She had moved from Farmersville over. She had. We took her mother by to visit with her. And as we came back to pick up her mother, she said, Sister Brown said, Brother Hagin, Sister Hagin, there's a lady down here about a half a block away that's bedfast, given up to die. Her husband put her through three different clinics here in North Texas, and all of them said she has a blood disease in the last disease, in the last stages. Nothing we can do. She's dying now. Couldn't talk above a whisper. I told her how God uses you, and she said she believed that if you'd come and pray for her, she'd be healed. You see, sometimes it just takes the people will release their faith that way. And so we knelt to pray. And while we was praying, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, don't pray. She has already prayed. Just take your hand off of her. Don't pray. Get up and stand up and say to her. Tell her she's healed to get up. Arise. Well, I knew all about it that she died. But I obeyed the Lord. And I did and she did and the Lord did. And she was healed that day. Now that was Thursday. And on Sunday, she is over at our church in Farmersville. Praise God. Raised up from the deathbed on Sunday. And so Sunday morning, in those days, Sunday morning was primarily your church people. Sunday night, we'd fill the building up with evangelistic service. See? And nobody much there except just our own congregation that morning. And so we had a testimony meeting. I asked her to come lead the testimony meeting. And so she gave her testimony how God raised her up, and then behind the pulpit began to dance, and danced through the morning service for about an hour and a half. People testify and heard dance. Now listen, wait till I get through now. Sunday night, the building's full, crowded out, standing around the wall. Windows and doors are up because it's May of 1943. People standing 8 and 10 deep all around the church. You see, when miracles happen, people come. Are you listening? They'll still come today. They'll still come today. I'll tell you how to get a crowd today. Amen. Just get the fire to fall it. Glory to God. Amen. They'll come. They'll come. I never have seen a crowd fall in an ice wagon yet. But you get a fire truck and going, people will go. They'll follow. I mean, it'll attract attention. And so, Sunday night, this great crowd, I wanted them to hear her testimony. She's sitting over to the side. I said to her, Sister Yeager, stand up and testify. Tell what the Lord did to you Thursday. You can take, 5 minutes, not over 10, please. She gave a short testimony of what happened. Began to dance. Now, see, we didn't have rugs on the floor, no day. We just had a wooden floor. I got right up behind her. Actually, when she got through, I had them to sing a special song. She danced through the special song. I got up and took my text and preached my sermon. She danced through my text. She danced through my sermon. Now you listen. We had a great service. Didn't disrupt. See, when people are in the Spirit, now don't misunderstand me. There's two things here I want you to see. I want you to get something here. And we need to understand it. You see, sometimes we get enthused and shout, jump, dance, like people get enthused at a ball game because somebody made a touchdown or hit a home run. And they'll get enthused about it. And their emotions run wild with them. And they jump up and down and they holler. And I'm not against that. And it's all right. It's all right to praise God that way. But really, that's praising God and worshiping in the flesh. And that's where most of our worship is, in the flesh. But there is a dance in the Spirit. Are you listening to me? There is a dance in the Spirit. There is a shout in the Spirit. Amen. Are you listening to me? Now listen, here's what I want to say, and then you can see it's supernatural. See, the dance in the Spirit is supernatural. That lady showed us afterwards. On Saturday, she had bought her, of course you can see by the tops of them, it's a brand new pair of shoes. Ladies' shoes. That had a leather tap on the heel. You know about how thick that leather tap was, 1/4 inch or so. On Sunday, she danced that leather tap. You can see where it's wore practically off of her shoe because she danced for about 3 hours. Now listen, on a wooden floor, no rug, leather heels, and never made a sound. You never heard anything. She said, don't believe that. I can prove it by hundreds of people. You didn't know she's never disrupted my sermon. You didn't know she's dancing if you didn't look at her because you never heard anything. And yet it wore the leather tap off of her shoe heel. How isn't that miraculous? That'd make you wonder, won't it? Huh? Are you listening to me? She never made a sound. She was as quiet as a rubber ball bouncing. People talked about that for months. They said, I never seen anything like that in my life. You see, we didn't have any problems filling the house up. You won't have any problems if you get the supernatural working. Are you listening? You get the supernatural. There are going to be things like that happen. The cloud and the glory of God will come in. There'll be some congregations, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't hear it happen here at one of a camp meeting, that we won't be able to stand. You won't even be able to see me up here. Because it'll look like a fog. Everybody will see it. Some of us see into the spirit realm, see it, but everybody's going to see it. Until it's like a fog or like a cloud that filled the house. Glory to God. Blessed be God, both now and forevermore. And then various things like this that I'm speaking of are about to happen. You mark my word for it. And then, I'm sorry to say, but it's going to be true. Like here in the state of Oklahoma, I can prove it by Assembly of God ministers because I preach in the Assembly of God Church. And we had a few of these miraculous things happen. We came to our last service, and I suddenly said to the whole house full of people, and they said, didn't do that Assembly of God pastor went on in another state to become assistant superintendent of the state. I'm still in communication with him. He'll tell you this happened in his church. We came to the last service, and I said, everybody listen. Everybody listen. Everybody listen. I'm saying that because I want you to listen to what I'm saying tonight. Now, I said there's a man in this congregation that lives within a stone's throw of this church because of the supernatural manifestation of the power of God, laughed about it and said that fellow's just hoodwinking him, and that's hypnotism. And because I'd called a woman out of the congregation and I'd said to her, sister, the Spirit shows me that you have a growth in your right breast as large as an egg. Is that right? She said, that's right. And I asked two or three of the ladies to come and examine her breast, and they could feel it. And I spoke to it, and it instantly disappeared. And he went off and said that I was up there handling women's breasts. I never touched the woman. Now I said, here's what God said, unless you repent. Ere this meeting is over a week, you'll fall dead on your front porch. And you can throw a rock from this church and hit your house. We closed the meeting and left. The pastor said to me after, said, Brother Higgins, I know who that is. After you said that, he said to some men, that preacher can't scare me. That's just tomfoolery. He's trying to scare me. We closed Tuesday night. He phoned me long distance next. Said, Brother Higgins, could you come back? Everybody heard what you said. He said, that man yesterday stepped up on his front porch and fell flat dead, just like you said, because he resisted the power of God. Now we are coming, and we have now come. I speak by revelation that we cannot play church any longer. And there'll be people that'll fall dead in our midst like they did with Ananias and Sapphira fell dead right in the church. We've seen it happen a little bit, but it's going to happen more and more. Now, there's no need for people to be fearful who are obedient and following God. But to the disobedient, those who are honest and sincere in doubt, God will look over and help them, bring them out of it. But those who are willingly and willfully ignorant and rise up against the manifestation of God's power and God's Spirit, mark my word, these things shall surely come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The last days are upon us. Yet we must not slacken our hand, nor cease to work. For the Master declared, occupy until I come. So continue to work, continue to build, continue to train men and women and boys and girls to go forth with the message of truth, the message of power, the message of the supernatural, the message of the miraculous. But because that the enemy, Satan, knowing that the time is short, he moves in this day in his sphere and in his realm to work, to move as never before. But at the same time, the Lord in his realm and in his sphere is moving to counteract the powers of darkness and to drive back the forces of evil. And so there shall come a manifestation of the power of God, a manifestation of the glory of God, a manifestation of the Spirit of God. If it was told some who even sat here, they would not be able at the moment to accept it. But because it'll come a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there, and then finally come together with great force, they'll be able to go with it and to accept it. And so, walk ye by faith, but walk ye in the light of the Word, and examine the Word daily to see if these things are so. And listen to what the Spirit is saying to your spirit. Yea, respond, and be willing to follow the Spirit that resides in your spirit. And be willing to let the Holy Spirit move into your services and into your church and into your meetings, and have His way. Don't be afraid of fanaticism. Don't be afraid of excess. Yea, familiarize yourself with the Word and with the Holy Spirit, and encourage Him, and invite Him, and He will manifest Himself. And the glory of the Lord shall rest upon His saints. Yea, the cloud of glory shall envelop many. And many sitting in the congregation, as their pastor preached, said, well, there was a cloud that was hanging right over his head. Others will say, well, he stood in that cloud as he ministered. And others will say, well, Jesus stood beside him. I saw him. And not just one in the congregation, eyes will be open, but many eyes will be open. And they'll see into the realm of the Spirit. For this is the day of the miraculous. Man and miracles go hand in hand. Man and miracles are in His plan. Man and miracles, He has made the plan, even the Father God, yea, and set the power in motion. Yea, man and miracles. Rise up, man. Claim your miracle. Rise up, woman. Claim your miracle. Yea, receive ye your miracle. For the miracle working God is at hand. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, every head bowed, every eye closed, we've set the keynote for this camp meeting is man and miracles. Amen. Well, the men are here. Men of God from everywhere. Not only on the platform, but all over the congregation. Now the miracles will come. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father.